Weak solidarity, Bricky Team Listener, when here we are more than 13 hours into the new day, for as we all know, International Women's Day finished at 7 p.m. last night in line with the gender pay gap. A 24-hour IWD would ignore the reality with a timely contribution to feminist solidarity from Trubler Aussie's filthiest rich of the filthy rich, Gina Hardheart, announcing, nay, celebrating her mining interests enjoy a 25% gender pay gap, way better than the national average of a mere 19%. Hope that 25% average doesn't include what Gina is scooping up at the top of the slag heap. Dragged from the top of the slag heap and eulogised as he addressed our Trubler Aussie Parliament, Philippine Supremo Ferdinand Mucus, a true chip off the old block. En route to the ASEAN Talkfest, from Big Supremo Anthony Albing Uzi across the political spectrum, not sure it's a divide, to the Trubler Aussie Capitalist Review editorial, Philippine Partner on Peace, Stability, Success in Asia, showing that as long as there's a quid involved, then locking up your opponents, criminalising worker organisations, trade unions, arresting activists, killing those fighting for worker rights, using the public purse to make the filthy rich filthier richer, including yourself, yet the majority live in dire poverty, while manipulating the political landscape to extend your term so you can continue all of the above, reinvent you into an exemplar of democratic compassion and egalitarian rule. Wonder what people like Mucus have to do to warrant a little bit of criticism from our fawning sycophants. Well, he did join the Bash Up Evil China chorus, and that would have endeared him to both sides of the non-divide and brought smiles to faces in our de facto capital, Washington, which knows the difference between good and bad, good and evil, because it represents all that is good in this world, like good nuclear bombs and evil nuclear bombs. Good nuclear bombs are its own nuclear bombs and those of its very, very, very close friends like Zion. Evil nuclear bombs, obvious. Evil Russia, evil China, and if they get them, evil North Korea, evil Iran. Although, if one's heading our way, not sure we'd be saying, it's okay, it's a good one. As I wrote in a poem about war many years ago, to win or lose is an ephemeral result, quite pyrrhic to the dead. And tunnels, bunkers are the same. There's good, good bunkers and evil, evil, evil bunkers. The latter we know all about. The Hamas tunnels in Gaza are evil, designed for evil terrorist purposes. In Beirut many years ago, as a guest of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, we were taken to underground bunkers they had because of the ever-present threat of Zion air attacks. They too were evil bunkers, evil tunnels. But in Ukraine, there is a web of tunnels allowing them to spy on evil Russia, where, quote, Ukrainian soldiers track Russian spy satellites and eavesdrop on conversations between Russian commanders. On one screen, a red line followed the route of an explosive drone threading through Russia air defenses through central Ukraine to a target in the Russian city of Rostov. The underground bunker is a secret nerve center of Ukraine's military, the New York Times reported. There is also one more secret. The base is almost fully financed and partly equipped by the CIA, by the good old CIA, and therefore good, good, good tunnels, not terrorist tunnels. The article goes on to outline the good old CIA's key involvement in Ukraine, as if we need to be told. On nuclear bombs, caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo, Constable Peter Duffer, doubtless shored up votes and massive support in the Latrobe Valley and Surf Coast Retreat Anglesey by promising them their very own nuclear power plants. There's a vote winner if ever I saw one. Anglesey has the added advantage that they can just row out a few hundred metres offshore and dump the nuclear waste overboard, where it will be safe for a few hundred years. Not that it's an issue, because the growing list of nuclear advocates never mention the nuclear waste problem, so somehow we listener must have missed the big scientific breakthrough that solved the problem. Trample the poor and lees and dregs. Apart from their progressive political beliefs like smash evil unions, destroy the environment, make the filthy rich filthy richer, Oh, and soaring egos, which blind them to their own stupidity, indeed delude them into believing they are intelligent, what else do US of the UN of the US of the world, former big supremo and would-be big supremo Donald Trump or the poor, and the caring business class party deputy supremo and would-be Susan Lees and dregs have in common? Yes, you got it. They share the same system of vote counting, election analysis. After Susan boasted what a magnificent victory the caring business class party had secured in last week's by-election. This after making a total idiot of herself 2 days earlier, attacking the socialists over releasing a no-proper papers queue-jumping illegal vote person who turned out to be the wrong person. But on election night, the score was on the board. How could she miss the minor fact that her party had not actually won? Oh, of course, it was a moral victory, and we all admire the morals of politicians generally. She obviously studied the Billy Stedden vote-counting manual, Billy back in 1974 declaring he never lost the election. It was just that he didn't actually win it. Then again, her source of knowledge, the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin, joined Susan in the premature expatulation disease. Last week we pointed out Susan and Constable Duffer had leapt on the arrest of a detainee ordered by the High Court to be released, picked up by the coppers. A vote for the socialists was a vote for every woman in the seat of Dunkley to be raped. Susan was all reason and restraint. Then, oops, oh dear. The coppers had the wrong man. Well, in sympathy, the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin declared on the most flimsy information that the soccer authorities must sack Sam Kerr as Matilda's captain, the heinous crime of racially aggravated harassment of a police officer. And sure, we must condemn racism, but perhaps like Susan and Pete, they might have waited for more detail, like stupid white bastard. A hanging offence. It took the coppers 12 months to lay a charge, although that might just reflect the pace of their thinking processes. But which bit of calling a copper a stupid white bastard is a hanging offence? Indeed, which bit is an offence? Poor sensitive copper. Poor sensitive stupid white bastard. Once a month, an insert called The Indigenous Times falls out of the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin and carries some reasonable articles, but I suspect there's big mining money involved because there's lots of ads telling us how much the great resource giants just love the Indigenous people, really care, and who are we to doubt them? Just that if they really care, blowing up traditional art is a funny way of showing it, or destroying sacred sites, water sources, polluting the landscape. But no, they care. Even Beetaloo Basin fracker Tamboring for Gas has an ad, Tamboring, moving the Northern Territory forward with Territory Gas. Very caring. Just a pity the First People owners are totally opposed to their land being fracked. Not that they count. Last week, Tamboring reported exciting results from its fracking exploration. Flows much better than it had anticipated. Profit, profit, profit. And the Northern Territory Big Supremo said how exciting it was and what wonderful news for the Territory. At which point an environmental lawyer pointed out to the Big Supremo the project still had to go through an environmentally approved process by the same exciting, wonderful news for the Territory government. He seemed to think the Big Supremo might not be totally neutral in that process, may just be preempting the result. Shame, environmental lawyer, shame. So it's pollution and destruction, or Indigenous land management, non-pollution and non-destruction. Therefore, we can confidently predict pollution and destruction will get the environmental approval tick over the objection of the Indigenous owners. But Tamboring, as they all do, will give assurances that it will have a minimal environmental impact. Which all depends, of course, on your interpretation of minimal. like the minimal impacts of climate change, if there is such a thing, expressed by a worrywart UN of the US of the UN of the world climate official Simon Steele, real name, who warned True Blue Aussie needs drastic economic reform to avoid sinking our Pacific neighbours, destroying our Murray-Darling food basin and other dire consequences. Getting into the spirit, two of our very favourite fossils, Woodside with profits and Santos the profits, backed out of membership of the Carbon Market Institute because membership required them to make a highly unreasonable commitment to reduce their pollution. When the bottom line demands, they have no choice but to keep increasing their pollution exponentially. When they know in the national interest, their interest, their shareholders' interest, same thing, profit trumps the end of the world. So lucky, lucky profiteers, they'll be counting their huge profits as the world ends. As the law tells us, irresponsible criminals who believe we must save the planet from all that destruction must be jailed. Victims of climate change, if there is, with the bench telling them they were lucky, they only got 21 days. Still to face trial, those terrifying climate activists who turned up at Woodside with Supremo Meg O'Neill before Prophet's front gate and terrified the proverbial out of her poor dear. They get sentenced and Meg gets government subsidies to keep frying the planet, doing her bit for the end of the world. Finally, reversing our recent practice, finishing with that which we can't satirise. Perhaps microcosmically epitomised by P1 in Tuesday's Age. Sure, we've all seen or read it, but it's worth repeating. It took Rabia Anu Anza 10 years and 3 rounds of in vitro fertilisation to become pregnant. Her 2-month-old twins, Naeem and Wissam, died in seconds on Sunday after an Israeli strike on her family home in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Her husband and 11 other family members were also killed, while 9 more family members are missing under the rubble. I screamed for my children and my husband, Abu Ranza said as she cradled a baby's blanket to her chest. They were all dead. Let's finish with a recent comment from American Jewish playwright Eve Ensia. If you still do not understand that this is ethnic cleansing and genocide, if you still believe that Israel is defending itself, you have had to deaden some profound aspect of your compassion in defence of a delusion. Good morning.